scripture reading, Psalms 37, education given by Brother Paul Jenkins, the subject, salvation of the righteous. Psalms 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him, who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord and shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight himself in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnash upon his teeth, and gnash upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine thou shalt be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the lambs. They shall consume, and to smoke they shall consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. I have been a young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is of a merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue taketh of judgment, talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall keep them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. He because they trust in him. Turn our attention to Brother Paul.
Thank you, Brother Jason. Reading. That started on a talk a few weeks ago on compassion, area that my life I need to work on, probably some of y'all too. Fortunately, I had a rough couple weeks, and I'm not able to finish that. I've gone back and pulled a talk that I wrote about 15 years ago. So if y'all that have heard it have that good of a memory, there's probably going to be a couple of you in here. Maybe you can pick something up that you didn't get the first time. Modified it a little bit. So there's some different things in it. Salvation of the righteous. We are approximately 6,000 years since the creation of man. And wickedness on this earth is that, if not even worse, than the times of Noah. We know this was prophesied it would be, as it was prophesied it would be in the last days before Christ returns. Verse 10 in the Psalm just read says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be." Brothers and sisters, the time is near at hand. It's not mine or no one else's duty to judge whether or not we think one are wicked or we think that they are righteous. This Christ will decide. But I do know that to be a part of his everlasting kingdom, we have to be of the righteous. And that is by committing our ways unto the Lord and trusting in him, he will bring all of our hopes and all of our desires to a reality. But who is righteous? Do we consider maybe Moses one that would be righteous? Wasn't he a murderer? And what about David? He was also a murderer. Is this what righteous people do? Turn over to Hebrews 11. Be reading starting at verse 23. Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a prophet child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had expected the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured and seen him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying they do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, and she had received the spies of peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell that Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthiel and David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths. Now that word brought there in verse 33 means to be engaged in or with. These believers engaged, committed themselves to be righteous, which is why they are in this faith chapter. If one were condemned by God for a minor or even a major mishap in all of our lives, there would be no hope of salvation for none of us. God's plan allows everyone to change from their sinful ways, which are made possible by the blood of Christ. Now, no way in saying that, you know, that murder is not the right thing, or we can just be forgiven for any sin over and over. God can and will forgive us of our sins, our heart is right, and our attitude is that of a humble servant. Salvation of the righteous. Are we? Or do we ourselves to be righteous. Proverbs 11:23 says, the desire of the righteous is only good. Is this all of our desires? All of the time? Thinking on heavenly things? Proverbs 12:5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. So we ask ourselves, what do our thoughts ponder on about each passing day, each passing week? How will those carried out on this earth each and every day? We will continue to be that way. Our thoughts and our trust should be in and on Him. This is where we get our strength and our inspiration. Keep pressing forward. God strengthens us, and His tender cares keep us from getting caught up into the snares of this life, or any of the other problems wherein we might lose our trust in Him. Who better than to call on for help than to the One who has all of the answers, who has all of the comforts that man always needs in their lives? Back to being righteous, strong has for righteousness to be just, to be lawful. And it doesn't mean that if one is called righteous, that he was not a sinner, and that he had never done anything wrong. But to be considered righteous, or wrought in righteousness by the writings of scriptures, is a definite honor. To be righteous requires that we will work diligently on our sinful characters, fighting back our desires and our wants of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. But the hardest of all is tainting the pride that is in our hearts, which draws us away from His commandments, causes our heads to swell. Make us a name, they said, before the Lord came down and confused their languages and scattered them on the face of the whole earth. Pride comes in the way of our duty to God. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low. No man in scripture or even in history has ever obtained salvation with a proud heart. Over in Psalms 10. Psalms chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. Why standest thou afar off? O Lord, hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride, they persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the vices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesses the covetous when the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. His judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. It has been the lurking places of the villages and the secret places that he murdered the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. Doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall like the strong ones. Heaven, Father, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up my name. The words of David are good reminders of what pride can turn us into. These attributes, such as cursing, self-confidence, evil speech, murder, carnal security, will in no way help our characters to become more Christ-like, which is our goal. Usually for man, it is easy for one to pick out all of these bad attributes about somebody else, or to think that someone else might not be in the kingdom for something that they did wrong. Again, do we consider ourselves to be righteous or just in all of God's ways? Four. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit to keeping their souls to Him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. This verse should or does not cause us any concern. We are living our lives to the will of the Father. Proverbs 10:24 says, "The desire of the righteous shall be granted." And again, do we consider ourselves candidates for eternal salvation? Back in 1 Timothy 5:1. 1 Timothy 1, starting at verse 1. "All apostles of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, and Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and out of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jamming, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, for the disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers of fathers, for murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves of mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord is exceeding abundant of faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting, and one to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Out there in those verses. This familiar letter is a very sensitive, a very personal counsel to Timothy by Paul. I wanted to take from verse 9 that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for sinners. And is that not what we each are, sinners? Now going through the list of who the law is for, I had to ask myself, of these, which had applied? Have I ever been lawless? Have I ever lied? Have I ever taken anything from anyone? Or do or say anything that is contrary to sound doctrine that we all know, do, teach? He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. I've heard it. Jesus replied, he used the adulterous woman to teach the scribes and the Pharisees a lesson in humility in John chapter 8, verse 7. And they soon realized they are too as sinners also. Psalms 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down in heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Of all the workers of iniquity and knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord, there were they in great fear. For God is in the generation of the righteous. He has shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. The Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice Israel shall be glad. Psalms 130, verses 3 and 4. If there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not your plan of salvation, and in purpose for mankind after the fall of Adam, was to bring us closer to God. Only Jesus was able to live without sin, so the rest of us could have a mediator wherein we can ask for and be forgiven of our own induced lust, thoughts, and desires, and all of our wicked ways, to know that they will truly be forgiven. So in our hopes of that great day, the promises are being fulfilled, and our judge will account us worthy to be a part of the greatest kingdom ever to be established on this earth. The people in this kingdom are the ones who attained salvation because they were just and perfect in all their services rendered unto the Father. Verse 48. Therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Perfection takes on a meaning a little different than ones might think also. Perfection doesn't mean without sin, but it means complete. In our orders of living, we have been given the instructions to know what to do, what not to do, what will happen if we do follow those rules, and what will become of us if we don't. We have made a way out of the grasping claws of the sin that so easily besets us, so when we do fail, have a choice to make that will complete or perfect our works in being the right choice in the will of God. Salvation of the righteous. I talked about righteousness now, but what about salvation? Which means something saved or deliverance. 1 Timothy 2:1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness, and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Most important, God wants everyone to be saved to this everlasting kingdom that is to come. But we know this won't happen for all. Some knees will never bow. Their pride is too great. We are only to be saved, found righteous, from the circumstances that man has brought upon himself on this earth. God has made for us a plain way of salvation, a straight road to follow, right into the promised kingdom. It will be inherited by the faithful believers trusted in the Lord and did good. Psalms 37:22 says, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. This salvation will come to us by long suffering, patience, humility, and all the many more characteristics that Christ has exemplified in his life, which we are to follow if we are to be part of his righteousness. Read 12-14. Read 3:12-14. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that believe. Who is he that will harm you if you follow that which is good. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. We can take great comfort in these verses, knowing that we, as an ecclesia, are followers of that which is good. I often pray for myself and for this ecclesia to be strong and of good courage. In this coming year, as our trials and tribulations will continue in each of our lives, Christ's second coming will happen suddenly. 1 Thessalonians 5. The times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, the sudden destruction cometh upon them, as prevail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. People of all countries talk of wanting peace between the nations, the resolution for this 21st century. Is this the peace and safety that Paul speaks of? If not this year, maybe the next. And if not this century, maybe the next. If not this millennium, maybe the next. But his kingdom will come. And his will is to be done on this earth. And if it is God's will, we all in this ecclesia be blessed with the salvation of the righteous. In closing, I would like to read verses 4 through 9. 1 Thessalonians 5. You brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us, who are above the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate, and love, for a helmet, hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus lives, by terrors now, can no death no more prevail. Jesus lives, by this we know, thou, O grave, canst not enthrall us. Hymn 103.
Thank you.
The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith. We will welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines when they have been stated therein. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge the conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, with the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, and which are called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. What a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the tester. For a testament is of the force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the tester liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament is dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled it both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with his hands, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The ministry of the Messiah is that of a new covenant mediator. His ministry is superior because he does not enter an earthly sanctuary, but into heaven itself, and thus into the very presence of God. Unlike the high priest who entered annually to the most holy place, the Messiah entered into the most holy place once for all. Unlike the old covenant that was initiated by the death of animals that had no choice in the matter, the new covenant was initiated by the Messiah's voluntary death. Unlike the old priesthood that offered the blood of animals, the Messiah offered his own blood. Unlike the old priesthood that offered sacrifices continually without effect, the blood of the Messiah obtained eternal redemption. Let's turn to, let's stay in that same, let's go to chapter 10 of Hebrews. We'll continue in chapter 10 of Hebrews, starting with verse 1. The law having a shadow of good things to come, if not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins, but in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. And then said, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made of his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Bringing the comparison of the new and old priesthood to an end, the author in these verses focus on the superiority of the sacrifice of Christ. The old sacrifices were only a shadow of the very image of the blessed realities that come from the personal sacrifice of the Messiah. The author demonstrated that God was no longer interested in the burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin of the old covenant. The sacrifices had to be offered continually, and they did not accomplish anything beyond ritual purification because they could not take away sins. This is why it was prophesied that the Messiah would come to do God's will. Jesus, the Messiah, offered one sacrifice for sins forever by offering himself, and afterward he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now let's turn to the account in 1 Corinthians. Starting chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord, which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and he had sup, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For if eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Call him Brother Bill Watt. Give thanks for the bread.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of blessing and remembrance that we have been able to come here together with those of like precious faith to remember thy Son and the sacrifice that he gave not only for our behalf, but for his own as well. We pray, Father, as we partake of this bread, that we might see in the body that was given as a whole sacrifice, wholly dedicated unto thy most holy will, and that we may always remember him in the manner accorded as thou wouldst wish. We pray that thou would guide and direct us in all ways, keeping him in memory until his return. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for the wine, brother, too.
Merciful and righteous Heavenly Father, we draw near unto Thee at this time to give Thee our thanks and our praise. We are appreciative for all of Thy many blessings, and most especially at this time do we thank Thee for the gift of Thy Son. We realize that it was indeed a great sacrifice on Thy behalf, as well as His. And we pray that we may be kept ever mindful of the great love that has been extended to us in His provision. And we pray that we may realize His devotion and dedication and love for Thee, and how important it is for us to strive to manifest that same love as we each other, as we worship Thee, and as we follow Thy Son, as has been appointed. We thank Thee especially now for this cup of wine, which we acknowledge is a symbol of His shed blood, that we may indeed enjoy the remission of sins. And we realize that without His sacrifice, we would have no hope. We thank Thee once again for making this all possible, and thank Him for His perfect obedience unto Thee. Please be with all of Thy servants as they gather around this memorial table. Help each one to discern those things that You would have us to individually know, that we may every day strive to become more profitable servants unto Thee. Please forgive us of those things that we do amiss. Hear our prayers. We offer our thanks to Thee for all of Thy many kindnesses to our Redeemer, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Closing, and we'll be singing hymn 69. We get Brother Dominic to close the word there. Hymn 69. Praise the Lord, the heavens adore Him. Praise Him, angels in the height. Sun and moon rejoice before Him. Praise Him, all the stars in light. Hymn 69.
Thank you. Our great and glorious most heavenly Father, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and our God, all honor and glory be unto you, and blessed be your high and your most glorious name. Father, we humbly bow before you once again, thanking you once again for the opportunity that you have blessed us with this day, of being able to freely gather with those of like precious faith, for the opportunity to read your word, which is able to make us wise unto salvation, for the opportunity to hear words of exhortation, which we pray will sink deep into our hearts and minds and strengthen us as we go our separate ways, and for the opportunity, Father, just to share in the fellowship. We pray now, once again, most importantly, for that soon return of our Lord and Master, Jesus the Christ. For, Father, as we watch the events unfolding each and every day in the world around us, we know that the coming of our Lord and Master can't be very far away. And we pray that when you allow him to return to this earth and set up that great and glorious kingdom which should never be destroyed, that we will be found ready and waiting, so that we will hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Until that day, we ask you to be with those, our brothers and sisters throughout the world, who may be sick or needy in any way, shape, or form, Father. Suit a blessing into their needs and heal them of their infirmities, returning to them to our midst once again. All these things we pray and ask in and through his name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Just a reminder again, first Sunday we get together today at Shady Park.